One of the things I love about being in New England is I just feel like we're kindred spirits because New Englanders love change. And I love change. I love to sort of mix things up every now and then. One of the things that's important to realize, and I talk about Jesus Christ all the time, right? So hopefully you're not going to ever forget about him. But we're here for him and because of him. And sometimes it's fun just to have a representation of we're here for Christ. And it's not about necessarily music, although we enjoy it. It's not necessarily about the preaching. I hope that I do a good job for you guys. But I want us to love Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. And he's first and foremost the only hope that we have in the world. So thanks for being flexible. Thanks for looking at each other. I bet you didn't know what each other looks like, but now you do. So that's really good. Thought I'd start off this morning with a little quiz. I've got some quotes for you, and I want to see if you can figure out who said these things. The first one is this. I have found out that the best way to give advice to your children is to find out what they want and then advise them to do it. Any clue? I know it's a little bit vague. See if you get this one. It is amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. Sound a little bit familiar? All right, one more. You guys are slow. I never did give anyone hell. I just told the truth, and they thought it was hell. A little bit racy. One of my favorite presidents. Anybody? It's Harry Truman. Harry Truman said some of those things. He also said some pretty not so great things. So I didn't quote everything that he did. But one of the things that I want to talk about is I like Harry Truman because he came from Independence. I could swear that I was walking with my dad in Independence, Missouri when I was a kid, and I saw him mowing his lawn. Now, I don't know if that's realistic or not. I was born in 64. He died in 72, and he was like almost 100. So, I mean, he probably wasn't mowing his lawn then, but in my brain, I keep picturing him being like this normal guy that did his lawn and just sort of did his best to help people in life. So I don't have any trouble following some of the things that he did, but every once in a while, there's leadership that I have trouble following, whether it's local leadership, whether it's national leadership or world leadership. And one of the things that Paul is trying to do here in Romans, we're in Romans 13, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. One of the things he's trying to do is say, look, as part of being a follower of Jesus Christ and recognizing the grace that he's given us and the mercy and the care that he's given us is to live differently. And one of the things that we should be different about is we should submit to governmental authorities. Okay? That's not always easy, is it? In fact, if I asked you, it's not always easy to submit to anyone, let alone a governmental authority. You know, we're fiercely independent. We want to do what we want to do. So I want to talk about this issue. It's at the beginning of Romans 13. I want us to talk about why. We are told and commanded in these verses to submit to governmental authorities, both national, world, local, all the way down. Why would God want us to do that? All right, so let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak together. Thanks for the chance to participate together in worship. It's nice to have a place to gather. It's nice that you gave us air conditioning so we can be comfortable. I love being able just to be in a room knowing that we can talk about you, Jesus, and we can focus upon you without any sort of real fear or repercussions. A lot of the world's not like that, and we thank you for the blessing and the freedom that gives us here. Father, would you speak to us now about why we should submit to the government and to the authorities that you put in place? I have found that sometimes easy, and I have found that sometimes very difficult in my adult life. But I want to glorify you. I want to follow the things that you want me to do. I pray that we would all have that same heart, and I pray that you would teach us to get together today this real practical idea of what it means to submit to the authorities that you put in place. So we love you, Lord, and Holy Spirit, speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So why are we to submit to government authorities? Well, like parents, your kids sometimes can ask you, why do you want me to do this, Dad? And we always say, because I said so, right? I think God is really good. He understands that that's not always a very satisfying answer. Do it because I said so, although that should be enough. He's God. He created all things. He knows all things. So why wouldn't we want to follow him? But he gives us some interesting reasons, I think, to follow governmental authorities. The first is this. It shows that we trust God and understand that he is the one true authority over all. When I willingly follow the leadership that's in place, It shows that I trust him, that he's bigger than that person. He's in charge of that person ultimately. And I can follow him to the best of my ability with confidence, knowing that God's in charge. When Paul was writing this, there was this sense of, now that you're a follower of Christ, you need to hate everything in the world. And so there was lots of zealous behavior going on, a lot of people being hating the world, not following the government. They had these things called tax revolts, which sounds familiar in our sort of neck of the woods, where they decided not to pay taxes. And Paul's saying, look, I really want you to consider being a good citizen, and I want you to consider trusting me that I know what I'm doing with certain authorities. Okay, so how do we show that trust? Well, we can trust because God establishes the authority. And to rebel is to rebel against God. To rebel against the authority in place is to rebel against God. Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governmental and governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. What's interesting about this sentence is there's very little wiggle room. It says, I did it. I'm an ultimate authority. I put the leader in place. So submit. Let's not negotiate. Let's not talk about it. I need you to do this. Verse 2. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. It's a fascinating thought to think that God wants us to stand under potential people that might not share our same values in Jesus Christ, that might not believe in the same things that we believe in. But he's really trying to get us to recognize that societies function and exist because there's a hierarchy of authority and control. Okay, you're not the president, you're not the selectman, or maybe you're helping with that, but you're not the ultimate authority of everything that goes on, and we all have a place and a role to play in our society. If you're a student of history, the very first president that I got to vote for, where I was finally old enough to vote for, was Ronald Reagan. I voted for him. I liked some of the things he did, but honestly, some things were kind of weird. When I was overseas on a mission trip and we were bombing Libya, a lot of people over there in Europe didn't like Ronald Reagan. And so it was hard to talk with people about Christ because they didn't like him. I'm like, why don't you like him? He seems like this great guy. You know, he eats M&Ms and says these great speeches and stuff like that. And so I don't begin to understand why God puts certain authorities in at certain times. But he doesn't say follow them if they're good. He doesn't say follow them if you believe in everything that they say. He doesn't say even you have to believe in the things that they do. He's saying stand under or put yourself underneath this authority. Otherwise, there will be judgment. You can rebel in our country if you want to. It's a free country. You have an autonomous soul. But what happens if you say, for example, and we'll talk about this, you decide not to pay taxes? You have that right. You don't have to pay if you don't want to, right? Well, judgment could be that you go to jail for voicing your opinion about the taxation in our country. Or there could be some sort of this word for judgment. There could be some sort of reckoning or accountability when God comes back. He takes this issue very, very seriously. He's been this way as long as he has existed. Isaiah chapter 40 talks about the long-standing authority of God. So let's read that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare to me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Goes on to say some incredible things about the greatness of God. He's in charge. He's the authority. And whether these people that govern us recognize God's authority or not, he is in sovereign control of everything that's happening. So we need to be willing to not rebel against God's authority whenever possible. That's one idea about why it's good to submit. Here's another one. following authorities brings a life of freedom and security. It brings a sense of having a clear conscience. Romans 13, verse 2 says this. Let's go verse 3, I'm sorry. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is right, and he will, the authoritative person, will commend you. For he is God's servant to do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but because of our conscience and having our conscience clear. You might not admit it at times, but it feels good to sort of have a clear conscience and not be worried about anything that's going to happen to you, right? Or worried that something that you've done wrong will catch up with you. I'm always amazed at all these athletes that make so much money, and then they live these double lives, or they take drugs or something like that, and they're afraid of drug tests, and they live in fear of that. And here's my deal. If you haven't done drugs, then what's the big deal? Live in freedom. You know, and if you haven't done anything wrong, you're not always looking over your back. You're not always worried about an instant drug test or something like that. He says the governmental authorities are established because there needs to be someone that regulates the society as we know it. And they exercise the sword. Sword is a symbol for authority and for punishment. They have the right to punish and discipline people in our society to keep things in order. It says that they are God's servants. That word for servant is a person that serves in the temple. So it has a spiritual quality to it. Again, whether they know it or not, there's a quality of them serving God's purposes. They are there to serve God, to execute punishment, to keep things safe, to execute laws, all those kinds of things. And if you live in a way that's consistent with as much as you can with the laws that we have in our society, you don't have to worry about being in trouble. You don't have to worry about the IRS showing up at your house some night and saying, hey, you owe so much in taxes. You don't have to worry about hiding and trying to make sure no one finds out a deep secret. One of the things that I really learned in college, I think that really helped me in my relationship with the Lord, was I was sort of following God when it was convenient and when I liked what he wanted me to do. So if God was sort of like, hey, let's go out and hang out with your friends and have a party, then I was cool. I'll follow you, God. And if he was like, hey, date whoever you want, I'm cool. I'll just find somebody to date. But God has some parameters on behavior. He has some parameters on relationships and people that he wants you to be with and friends and those kinds of things. And I found it very difficult to submit to his authority in all areas of my life. He also gave me some pretty interesting teachers. Have you ever had a teacher that you just thought was out to get you? You know, I hear that from my kids. You know, it's not that I'm not doing my homework and not studying. This teacher's out to get me. He has it in for me. Well, really? Are you sure? I think occasionally there are some pretty crummy teachers. I remember one in college that he was pretty evil and he didn't like me. I did everything I could, but he didn't like me. And I had to figure out a way to survive that class with this crummy authority because he had my future in his hands with my grade and those kinds of things. And so you're doing your best, but here's the deal. If you're doing your best at the end of the day, you can go to bed and sleep at night. That you got nothing to hide. That you're trying to submit to God. That you're trying to walk faithfully with him. It feels really good to finally confess something that you've been hiding from someone, doesn't it? Maybe not initially. It can kind of be embarrassing at first. But once you get it off your chest, how does it feel? It's like, whew, my conscience is clear. I don't need to pretend anymore. I don't need to worry about someone finding out about something anymore, especially with this day in the internet. If you think you're going to get away with long-term sin and criminal activity in this day and age, you are fooling yourself. Someone will find out, and the truth will come out. It feels better to live in the sense of authority and follow God as righteously as we can so that we don't have to be afraid of people, of authorities, or of anything. All right? Some people, just for what it's worth, this is off the topic, but I don't know if you've ever read this section and thought about the death penalty. Some people talk about this passage as evidence for why the death penalty should be in place in our country. Just for, again, what it's worth, my opinion, this doesn't do a good job talking about it. That's not what this is about. Okay? It's about governmental society and overcoming rules and authority and those kinds of things. It's not about the death penalty. There's some other passages, if you're ever interested in reading about that, I could steer you to them, but don't make the scripture say something that it doesn't. All right. Here's another reason why we should submit to authorities. It sets a good example of how we are to live and honor God. Romans 13, verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes. Everybody loves to pay taxes, don't they? Okay, you know, I was blown away by how many taxes there are in Massachusetts. I'm just being honest with you. You know, it just, I had a huge house in Indianapolis and I paid $3,000 in taxes all year. So not only did my taxes double for half the size of house, I get taxed for my licenses, I get taxed locally for my cars, I get taxed for my dog. Never heard of such a thing. But we pay these taxes, and I smile when I pay them. Why? This is also why you pay your taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. Again, that feeling of whether they know it or not, they're doing the spiritual work of God in caring for us and keeping us safe and building roads and all those kinds of things in schools. They're God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. I'm a big believer in showing respect and honor whether people deserve it or not, because that's the way I think God would treat others and the way Jesus treated others. It's a fact, again, and when this was written, that there's these tax revolts and people not wanting to pay, but Paul is just saying, look, you're a Christ follower first, and Christians do what they're supposed to do to be good citizens, and that's a good example for others. It's a good example to be a good citizen. I talk a lot about being involved in the community, and the reason why I do things in the community is I want to be known as a good example, not some weird Christian that only thinks about himself and that's hateful and bigoted and is out of touch with reality and weak-minded or whatever it might be. I want people to know me. Now, my personality temperament doesn't want to be that known. Okay, like I just would rather be pretty mediocre and exist. Don't make waves. But God challenges us as believers and says, look, I want you to be good citizens, but I also want you to live in such a way that it is known that you love God and that you're willing to follow the rules. You're not going to rebel all the time when somebody institutes a new tax. You're not going to scream through town going 65 when the speed limit is 30. I want to be known so that I can get to know people and hopefully earn their trust, that I care about what's going on in their lives. But I also want that accountability. I don't want to be doing stuff that's wrong. And if I'm known, it's harder to get away with stuff. Have you figured that out yet? If you live sort of a visible life, you're a little bit of a target. But I think that's good for us. I think it's good for us to be known. I think it's good for us to have some accountability. I think it sets a really, really good example for what it means to be a citizen of this country, what it means to be a citizen of Westboro. And I take this stuff seriously. I guarantee you, if I was like I don't know what I could be. I could be like a end times fanatic, and I could use a sanctuary to store up guns and food because the world's coming to an end, the government's evil. I guarantee you, if I was like that, guess what? Nobody would listen to me, and I'd probably be in jail with other things too along with that. But I mean, I want to live a life where people will respect the goodness that's in my heart to appreciate the place that I live and appreciate the authorities he puts in place. Again, I don't believe everything that they believe. I don't have to say I'm the biggest champion of this particular leader or president or whatever, but I want to be a good citizen so that people will listen to what I have to say about Christ. So I beat that pretty good, right? You got that? Now, you can't read this passage, though, without saying, well, is there an exception? Is there an exception to this submission principle? One of the reasons why it's important to understand all of God's Word, not just pick one passage and read it, if this was all that we had on submission to authorities, it doesn't matter whether they're good or bad or evil or not, you got to submit. There is no wiggle room in this passage. And I think God wants to speak seriously about this because it has an impact about our witness and those kinds of things. However, if you understand all of Scripture, there's a bunch of exceptions of people not submitting. There's someone that's evil. There's someone that wants to do bad things. For example, I'm in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel kind of hides a little bit, but if you find Ezekiel, Ezekiel's kind of a honking book. Just turn right, it's the next book over. Daniel chapter 3. We meet some guys here in verse 16. Guys that you have probably heard of. It's this famous story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The ruler of the land was saying, you have to bow down and worship me, and they refused to worship God. So like if any president or any local authority says to me, Derek, bow down and worship me as your God and King, guess what? I ain't going to do it. And you can do whatever you want because I only have one God and King, and his name is Jesus Christ. So there are exceptions when something's pretty serious. So let's read just a little bit of this. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. What happens to him? Do you guys remember the rest of the story? Guys died trying to chuck him into the furnace because it was so hot. They're in the furnace, and they're just like hanging out like it's a picnic. There's three guys in there, but also the king sees a fourth guy running around. It's God, the Spirit of God. It could be Jesus Christ. It's God's protection for them, and then they come out, and they're unharmed. There are examples of exceptions, and worshiping someone else besides God is a acceptable thing. A little bit more of a contemporary passage, though, Acts. Acts chapter 4. Let's go in verse 18. Basically, Peter and John were told that they couldn't preach anymore. They had to stop talking about Jesus. They said this in verse 18. Then they called them in and again and commanded them, the religious Jewish religious leaders of the day, to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. They weren't disrespectful. They weren't arrogant. They just said, look, if you really want us to stop talking about Jesus, we can't. This is who he is, and we've got to talk about him. We live in a country that they're pretty cool about all religions and spirituality, but when you mention the name of Jesus, guess what? Not everyone's so excited. So if someone were to say to me, I can no longer talk about Jesus in the public arena, guess what? I would be respectful as I could, but I wouldn't follow that rule. Okay? Now, you know there's a difference, right? Stop talking about Jesus and pay your taxes. All right? You can't elevate these issues like they're the same. They're apples and oranges, okay? Follow the speed limit. Stop talking about Jesus. They're massively different. So the general rule is to submit and to be a good citizen and to follow the authorities that God has put in place. But there are things that rise to the level of, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I think that's why the word submission is really important here, okay? Submission is to stand under with respect, but it is not synonymous with obedience. Submission yields obedience, but they're not the same, okay? So because I submit to the President of the United States, that doesn't mean I'm going to obey everything that he says, all right? Because there's times when presidents are evil. There's times when rulers are evil. A couple of historical examples. Hitler. I'm not going to submit and stand by while he kills an innocent race of people. Stalin. Stalin historically might have killed more people than Hitler, right? I'm not going to stand for what he stands for. So there are times when rulers are evil. Now, that begs the question, so if God put him in place, what's going on with God? Was he asleep at the switch? I don't know. Sometimes he uses great evil for great good. I have no idea what it is, but it says that he's in charge, right? But he also says through these biblical examples that I don't have to obey if it's evil and if it's wrong. Just be careful to not elevate things that you say are evil when they're really not. It's your opinion. Make sense? A couple of things to think about here. Do you have a problem with authority? I'm just asking. Authority in general? Authority to a particular president? I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to be too political here, but some of the things that our presidents have said and done over the years, it's been embarrassing to me. It's humiliating sometimes. I'm thinking, man, what's going on? I was so excited I got to hear one of our presidents speak. I won't say who, but they gave a speech years ago. And I listened to the speech and I thought, oh my gosh, this guy is illiterate. Like something's really wrong with him. He can't speak. And maybe he just had an off day, but I was like, wow, I don't know if I want to follow him. I don't really have that option according to Scripture. I follow and I give respect and I give honor. I don't have to like everything, but I have to do my best to navigate following Christ first. And I'm telling you, if you got a problem with authority, whether it's governing authorities or not, you're not going to grow. You grow by submitting. You grow by submitting to Jesus Christ and surrender all to Him. You grow by submitting to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do whatever you need to do in my life to change me so that I can be better. Your marriages grow by submitting to one another. Out of love for Jesus Christ, submit to one another. Right? If you've got a problem with authority, you're going to struggle with growth. And I think that's why one of the reasons that he speaks so strongly about this. Just be honest. And if you're struggling with something, I would encourage you just to give it over to God and say, I trust you. I submit. And the last little idea here is I'd like us just to pray for our authorities and leaders. They're God's servants, right? They're God's servants to execute discipline and punishment, and they serve willingly and want to help us the best that we can. Our political arena these days is pretty it's kind of awful and weird, and there's a lot of tension in a lot of different camps and those kinds of things. So I think more than any time we need to pray for our authorities and the people that are in charge. For them to realize that they are doing God's work, for them to submit to a higher authority other than themselves, for them to pursue good and not evil. And that's top level leaders, but that's also your local leaders as well. Most of our lives are controlled by local people anyway. Have you guys figured that out? I mean, nationally they have quite a bit of power, but local governance is actually more practical and instructive in our lives where we live. And so we need to pray for those folks, whether they're selectmen or mayors or whoever they might be. All right. Bow your heads and let's pray together. Jesus, as we spend this brief time together, just want to take a moment, Father, that there might be someone here that needs to submit to you, Jesus, first and foremost. They need to sort of renounce selfishness and independence. They haven't invited you, Jesus, into their hearts. They haven't realized that your death on the cross, your resurrection, your indwelling Holy Spirit, when we make that decision of faith, when we believe in who you are and trust in who you are, Jesus, it changes everything. And you give us, through your Spirit, the ability to do good and to obey and those kinds of things. It's not self-effort. It's your grace and your mercy. And so, if there's one here, Father, that hasn't confessed their faith in you, I pray that they just talk to you about this. Say, Jesus, I need you. I submit. I'm tired of living my life the way that it is. Thanks for giving me the cross. Thanks for paying the penalty for my sin. Thanks for showing me a new way of life. For those of us, Father, that do know you, may we truly trust in your righteous character, regardless of what's going on in our country, in our states, our commonwealth, our towns. You are ultimately in charge, and so that should help us rest easy. That doesn't mean we don't have stress. It doesn't mean we don't like it. That doesn't mean that we don't protest or stand up for what's right. It doesn't mean that we blindly obey. But we should do that out of a spirit of joy and rest and peace. And we need you to help us with that, Lord. Father, for our national leaders, would you, senators, congressmen, president, vice president, cabinet members, would you somehow draw their hearts towards you, Jesus, and not themselves? Would you help them to realize they've been entrusted with a great task and they can't do it alone? Would you give them unusual wisdom to navigate some of these kinds of things and a spirit of wanting to work together? Just like you said in Isaiah 40, Father, you plant these authorities and we should trust you, but you also blow on them and they go away. If something needs to change, Father, do your work. We trust you completely. But in the meantime, we want to follow and be good examples. We want to be obedient to your word. So help us with that. And help these folks see their need for you, Jesus. Locally, Father, we know that we have a lot of people that are involved in things. Selectmen, mayors, be with them as well. They have a lot of influence. But they also need to be humble and they need to be respectful of your authority. And I pray that that would happen somehow. Maybe through our examples. Maybe through our willingness to get involved in the community. Maybe our willingness to follow and to pray even though we might disagree. It's okay to disagree. But we can still give respect where it's due and honor where it's due. Thanks for challenging us, Lord. Thanks for understanding when we have trouble with these issues. Thanks for giving us clear exceptions that we can follow with courage. If something like that happens, Father, may we stand up and do that with great love and respect, but with courage. In the meantime, we trust you, and we will follow. In Jesus' name, amen.